Today's podcast is brought to you by the Herzog Foundation. Our children come into the world as blank slates, but also as sponges ready to soak up all that we and others can teach them. Do you ever think about the fact that as you raise your children, you are actually raising the parents of a future generation? Well, you are, and that's exactly what we're going to be talking about next. Stay with us. This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms. Hi, moms. I'm Debbie Kurlandis, your host, and welcome to the Moms for America podcast. So glad that you, mama, that you're joining us again for another episode, right? Every week we get together to inspire, encourage, and educate moms on their journey through motherhood. All right, well, let's get on to today's program. Pastor Jonathan Brozozog pastors Creative Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. He's also an author, a coach, a speaker, and the father of eight. That's right, eight. He's written the book, Raising Parents, Set Your Kids Up for Future Success. All right, Pastor Jonathan, welcome so much here to the Moms for America podcast. We're so glad to have you joining us.
I'm honored to be here with you. It's a real joy. Thanks for having me.
Well, we know that you're talking from experience. And by the way, you came highly recommended from one of our moms,
yes.
Allie. And she said, you're going to love Pastor. You're going to love his advice, his wisdom. You're talking from experience. You have got, not only are you a pastor, which thank you, Lord, but you're a dad of eight. Is that right?
That's right. Eight children. And God's blessed us with four boys and four amazing girls. So we've got eight diamonds, and they're all about 2 years apart. Oldest is 20, all the way down to our 5-year-old twins. And so our house is loud and beautiful all at the same time. And my wife she's a lot like Jesus. Thank God for Joanne.
I was going to say she is a saint, right? Yes. But I'm glad that you've got even playing ground now. So you've got half boys, half girls. So everybody's equally represented, yes, in the home.
Everybody's got a buddy because mommy's my buddy. So everybody else has a buddy.
Oh, that is so great. Did you and your wife always want to have a large family? Because that's not the norm now.
No, it's not. It's not. We definitely get looks when we go out and we see people counting. They're like 1, 2, 3, 4. So we thought 4 would be a large family, but the Lord's blessed us with 8. And the last one, we're twins, and we were in there for the ultrasound. They said, hey, the odds of you having twins skyrocket around 40. And I said, I've been in here 6 times. You guys should have told us that, So God's blessed us with these
warning.
Beautiful twin boys. So it's fun.
Oh, that is so great. Well, this is going to be a fun discussion because parenting, boy, this is what we all sign up for. And we're all just honored that God gives us our kids and in this life to train them and to teach them, but it's not something that comes with here's how you do it perfect, and every child is different and the culture is different. And when you raise your 20-year-old versus raising your 5-year-olds now, boy, it's a whole different world. So there's so many dynamics to parenting. I guess first I should say the title, Raising Parents. You're not raising kids, you're raising parents. Talk about that quick.
That's right. We're raising a future mom. We're raising someone's dad. We're raising future leaders and businessmen and women and ministers, of the gospel of Jesus, and just the weight of that responsibility. My wife and I just decided years ago, we don't want to win in business. We don't want to win in ministry and not win at home. Yeah. And so that really becomes the earmark for what we determine success. And our children will not be what we say. They're going to be what they see. And so how do we model a home? How do we model love and kindness and forgiveness and honesty and transparency? How do we model those things? And so that we can raise future generations that love each other, love their parents, and love Jesus.
Yeah. That's right. Amen. And I know we're all been in the trenches of it, and to have more is really such a blessing. A lot of parents aren't having, it's like what, 1.5 is the average child per family now?
And we, you know, a lot of families are scared financially, or they don't know how they
Right.
can do it. But you know, we've lived on this verse. Deuteronomy 33:25 says, "As your days are, so shall your strength be." And that means that when you face that moment in life, or you have, God blesses you with that new baby. I found in our life, our income would come up. God would give us the grace, the strength to do it. And the grace to do it came when God blessed us with that child. And so I just want to encourage parents to not let those, if you add up what a child costs, you'll never have children, you know? So, but
Right.
God will give you the grace and the finances. He'll give you everything you need to raise that gift that he's given you. And our children are never a burden. They're always, always a blessing.
Yeah, I was just at an event last night. I hear this all across the country. I'm sure you do as you're speaking about parenting. Just this generation, he was in his 30s and he's like, "My wife and I just thought we would have one child because we thought, you know, we'll experience it." And he's like, "What craziness that was. We had one, now we want to have a second. Actually, we're
Yes.
hoping to have a family." So, it's like you just have to get out of what the world's telling you know, that this is
Right.
a burden or that your house is a prison or that you can't afford them or that they're going to be too
Yes.
complicated. Because there's nothing better than really being a parent and raising a family. I mean, I just.
I would say, you know, every time we go out, I mean, not every time, but I would say almost 9 out of 10 times when we're out as a family having lunch or dinner, there will be an older couple that walks up to us and they say, you know, our biggest regret is we wish we would have had more children. And so I think the older you get, you begin to realize too that real treasure, it can't be paid for with money. You know, real treasure is your family. And so the
That's
older
so
I'm
true.
getting, I'm 47 now, I'm realizing what a joy, what a treasure it really is to have these children.
Yeah, to have your legacy. And it's so true. You may not think like, "Oh, I wish we would have had more at 8," but most people, I do find after 7, parents are kind of like, I don't hear this from them as much, but like, "I had 3 and I wish I had 4." Mostly all the parents will say, "I wish I would have had one more," unless they've got a good tribe like you. So, we'll leave you. We won't put you in that category because you are helping with the population growth.
Yes, we're doing, we have done our part. My
You
wife,
are.
we've done our part. Yes.
All right, now let's talk about picking this title. I think you mentioned that a little bit, but where do we start with the book? What did you think was the fundamental springboard of raising parents, raising these kids to be good parents?
Yes, and I think when you realize the weight, the responsibility of it, this book came out of simply just our church asking us, you know, about parenting. And we go all over the country, and we're going to different nations this year and talking about parenting. And I would say out of the hundreds of churches we've been to, only about 5 or 6 had ever done anything on parenting. And so there's a real quietness in churches when it comes to talking about parenting. We talk about marriage, we'll talk about a lot of things, but there's a hesitancy. And so we've been encouraging churches and pastors to talk more about parenting because parents are they're suffocating for what to do. And so our church members were coming to saying, talk to us. And we felt that pressure of like, I don't know if we want to talk about this because we're not through parenting, but we're not through with marriage. We still talk about marriage. And so we just wrote this book for our church. And our church members were like, just tell us what you're doing. And I remember my wife and I ministering together and parents coming to the altar, grandparents coming to the altar and seeing some of them weep like they couldn't breathe. And it dawned on us that they don't care about anything as much as they care about their families and how burdened they are to raise children that would love the Lord, children that would love them, children that would love each other, children that would reach their destiny. Because our kids' destiny is bigger than sports, it's bigger than just making money, it's bigger than academics. Parents want their children to reach their destiny, which is Romans 8:29, to be like Jesus. And so that was the premise of the book. Teaching children to think for you, teaching children that the responsibilities that, you know, they're going to be a future mom, a future dad, a future leader. And it starts now. It doesn't start when they're 20. It doesn't start when they're 15. You know, you can cram for a test. You're not going to cram parenting. Parenting is seed time and harvest. And we've got to start
So
when they're
true.
little. So that was the premise and the heart really behind the book. And God's just kind of breathed on it. And so we've been fortunate to be able to help a lot of families around the nation.
Oh, that's beautiful. And you're talking to the mamas out here, obviously. That important role of motherhood and of fatherhood and just those roles that God has given us that we,
Yes.
you know, mothers are the nurturers and the teachers, they're the cultivators, and the dads are the providers and help with you know, guiding and directing our kids in just different ways. We have these beautiful roles that God's given. Let's talk about moms too, because moms are sometimes the kids try to take advantage of them. They try to push the limits there.
They do.
They're more sensitive. The moms are always concerned about maybe a different look of a situation than a father. And then the father comes in with the complimenting aspect of it. So motherhood and the role that that plays in your book.
Yes, you know, moms are so crucial in cultivating love and care and compassion. And I think when mothers spend time in the presence of the Lord and they get that anointing to be the mother that God's called them to be, God really anoints their words. And their words become as medicine in the heart of their child. They become walking pharmacies of the love of Jesus in their home. And I think God lets them even see the pain that's in the life of their family and the heart of their child. And they heal their family with their words. I mean, their words become like the healing balm of Gilead. And I think God gives them the gift of compassion. And compassion makes mothers a healer. You know, the scriptures say Jesus was moved with compassion and healed all those with disease. And our children can't earn compassion, it has to be given. And I know I would tell my wife, you know, she doesn't speak as much as I do on stage at our church, but, you know, churches tend to record baptisms and salvations and all these beautiful statistics, but heaven also records bedtime prayers. Heaven records meals shared in love and sacred hallway conversations. And, you know, sometimes moms, the greatest sermons you preach won't be on a stage, it'll be next to bunk beds, but heaven still records it. And I
It's
just
true.
think it's so important that when moms spend time with God, I think he also gives them the gift of sleep. The Bible says he giveth his beloved rest. I think my wife would say, I'm not the mom that God's called me to be when I'm tired. And so she began to realize too that her words began to work more the more time she spent with the Lord. She began to find herself resting more the more time she spent with the Lord. And so I just want to encourage moms out there that you are healers, you're a pharmacy, and you are filled with compassion. And the days are long, but the years are short. You know,
It's so
my wife
true.
gets it. She'd say, I just want to go to the bathroom by myself, you know, without kids following me around and putting their fingers under the door. You know, she's like, just to have a moment's peace. So we get all that. But, you know, you blink and the baby in the car seat's got the car keys and you think, where did it go? But
Yeah, it does go
are
fast.
the heroes, you know, of the family.
And on what you're saying too is, and I think it's so beautiful too how the mom's one of their other greatest strengths too is just being sensitive to where you get that it's the Holy Spirit giving you the
Yes.
insight to that child where dads are more overview. You know,
Yes.
and I think the moms just see right into it. They can see when the child is off kilter or separating, or sadness is maybe setting in, or being or glad too, or their strengths, your child's strengths too. Like moms have that beautiful insight, and I think that's
Yeah, the
something too that
discernment.
moms that discernment on the on their children in such a beautiful way. And then they bring it to the dads, and then the dads help develop. So let's talk about fatherhood too. And this is another, I mean, we've got so many dads that are missing from the homes. You know,
Yes.
moms are single moms a lot in today's day and age, and that's really tough. I mean, without the father role, you can't do without the moms, can't do without the dads. You hate to split them and say one's more important than the other. They're both equally. But boy,
Right.
it is really tough for a single mom or not to have a father involved.
Yes. And so many, you know, I hear dads say, well, I'm not an absentee father. You know, you don't have to leave home to be absent.
That's
You know,
true.
you can be at the table and be absent. You can meet at the living room and be absent, in the car and be absent. And God's not called us to be perfect parents, perfect dads, but he's called us to be present. I
Yeah.
was reading something the other day that said the years of your life that you'll make your most money statistically were between 60 to 70 years of age. The second was 70 to 80. The third most successful stage of human life was 50 to 60. So the average president and CEO of companies is around 62. The average age of pastors of the 100 largest churches in America, it said, was 71. I think it was a study published in the New
Wow.
Journal of Medicine. And I'm just bringing that up because if you're listening to this, you're watching this, and you're in your 20s, your 30s, and your 40s, these are not your money-making years. They're your parenting years. And I'm
Good
not saying
point.
to be lazy and slothful. I'm saying when you sell those years, you're selling them for the least money you'll ever make. So don't
Such good
sell your
insight.
birthright for a bowl of soup. You're going to make way more money later in life, but you can't go back and reparent. And dads, your kids are worthy of your eyes. They're worthy of your attention. And in a world that's telling you to speed up and go fast, a world that's telling
Right.
you you're late, I want to tell you to slow down and walk with your family and be there, be present.
Yeah, and it's so true. I mean, when you're just saying that, even in my stage of life, that's where we're at now. We've parented our kids, and we did with less. We did less vacations. We did used cars. I was home with the kids. I did freelance work just to, have some fun money. And those were the choices that we made. And then now, when your kids are in your 20s or, going off to college, you have all of that time to really work more
Yes.
and do things differently. Seasons, I guess that's really what we're talking about, is those seasons of life to embrace those as a
Yes.
parent.
And we have to slow down. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, love is patient. If I walk with my twin boys at my normal pace, I'll leave them behind. So in order for us to walk together, I have to slow down. And it's something we have to model to our children, because if you live long enough, you're going to need your children to slow down for you. And so we've got to model what love looks like. We've got to model what patience looks like. And to be that present parent, that dad. And dad, your words matter. Your words are just, they're seeds that we sow in the heart of our child. And I just want to say this too. I want to encourage moms and dads to speak over their children. Very few people have ever had their parents like, to use this term, prophesy. I just say that in the lens of to profess what you see, to speak over your child. What do you see in me, mom and dad? Every Father's Day, I give all my kids the biggest gift I give them all year, and I speak over them for the year, what I see in them for the year, and I frame it and I put it in their bedroom. Then when I go in there at night to pray for them, I speak it over them. And I just want to encourage you to speak over them. They've got to know that you see a plan for their life. You see the heart of God for their life. You have a Jeremiah 29:11 that you see great
Yeah,
in them. And
that's
so
right.
don't go silent. Don't go silent. Speak over them what you see in your heart.
Oh, that's great advice, and that's beautiful. We actually have that hanging in our home, that scripture verse. So, I mean, that is because the world is just tearing them down. The
Yes.
world is saying that they're not worthy, that they're not capable, that they're not who God made them to be. And I guess those are some of the other great challenges of raising our kids in this culture that is going against everything that we would be as a Christian mom or dad, a faith-filled
Right.
family that, loves God, loves their country, loves their family.
Yes.
The culture's beating them up.
Yeah, and the world is speaking to our kids all the time. Our kids can go to school and a lot of times they can hear evil, prophecies in certain environments that they're in, or you're dumb, you're lazy, you're stupid, you're ugly, all these kind of things, and they come home silent, and then there we're silent. We can't afford to be silent. We've got to start speaking over our children and letting them know, and going to God and saying, God, show me in a vision or a dream my child. How can you raise a child in the way they should go if you don't know which way they should go? Mom and dads are just being told, work really hard so your kids can be what they want. And that's true. But our children need parents that'll hear from God to give them a direction. I mean, how did Mary and Joseph know the will of God for Jesus? It was a vision and a dream. How did Samson's parents know the will of God for Samson? It was a vision and a dream. And so I want to encourage parents, when you get in the presence of God, say, Lord, speak to me that I can raise my child in the way they should go.
All right, more good parenting advice is coming right up after this break. Stay with us. Hi, moms. I'm excited to share some news about our new sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. We know you're passionate about raising patriots and empowering your children with the best education possible. And the Herzog Foundation shares that passion. They're dedicated to promoting liberty through education freedom and helping parents like you choose the best educational path. They offer a powerhouse of resources designed to support families and schools alike. Whether you're ready to dive in headfirst to the world of education or simply looking for more ways to empower your child's learning. From free training events to their must-read online publication, The Lion, they're committed to keeping you informed about what's happening in education. Also, if you've ever thought, moms, about starting your own Christian school or co-op, their School Box online course will give you everything you need to get started on the right foot. Again, we are so proud to partner with the Herzog Foundation, and we encourage you to explore all their amazing tools and the insights that they offer. So go ahead, visit herzogfoundation.com to learn more. You won't want to miss these incredible resources. Again, find it all out at herzogfoundation.com. Welcome back, moms. Before we continue with our interview, I do want to remind everyone to please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your mama friends. Please go ahead and do that. What incredible and inspiring parental advice. So please let your moms know about this podcast. Also, if you have an idea or a topic that you would like to suggest, would you please email me at podcast@momsforamerica.net. I would love to hear from you. And lastly, I want to invite all of our moms that are listening to join the movement here at Moms for America. I really hope that you're a part of our sisterhood, our mama bears over here. It's moms like us uniting all across this country to fight for faith, family, freedom, and the Constitution. Please check us out, momsforamerica.us. We have an incredible space now for members called Moms Town Square. So check us out, all of our resources. We're here, moms, for you. Alrighty, now back to the show. I know that obviously being connected in a good church, having your kids in ministry-minded activities and mom and dad being in church and praying at home, that spiritual aspect. Is there anything else we want to share on that? Because I don't want to go to dinner time without honoring Jesus with the most important pieces of this, because without your home in order and, you know, if you're not worshiping as a family, it's very difficult to move together as a family.
It's so true. And I think, well, I would encourage all parents to remind their children that God's first language is not English, or if you're Hispanic, like my wife, it's not Spanish, that God's first language is visions and dreams. Mm-hmm. Only a few people in the whole Bible God spoke to audibly. Everybody else was a vision or in a dream. And I bring that up to say, we need to turn the TV off, the phones off, the devices off 30 minutes before we go to bed, 60 minutes before we go to bed, and begin to turn your children's heart and affection towards the presence of the Lord and sow into your dreams. You know, if you watch horror films end up in your dreams. But if you turn your family's heart and affection towards the presence of God, then the presence of God ends up in their dreams. And church comes alongside to echo what's being taught in our home. You know, stay-at-home parents are not going to produce church-going children. And having a great youth group, having a church that your children can grow in and be a part in and serve in and have great relationships. Because when they hit puberty, you lose 80% of the influence statistically. And if they're not surrounded with a great youth group and a great church that can pick up that influence, a lot of times we can be in trouble. And so I want to encourage you to do that. And I want to encourage you to be that voice and also raise the value you place on grandparents. Spiritually, grandparents are a living letter of God's faithfulness to your children.
So true.
And your children can see further when they stand on the shoulders of their prophetic words. And with suicide being one of the leading causes of death amongst teenagers in our nation, if a teenager has a healthy relationship with a grandparent, suicide rates plummet, anxiety plummets, depression plummets. So maybe our kids don't need more medication. Maybe what they need is a healthy relationship with a godly grandparent. And so I just think we have to really revalue church, raise the value of church, raise the value of grandparents, and raise the value of sowing into our dreams. Mom and dad, your words matter.
Yeah, beautifully, beautifully said. And in creating that, I love what you're saying about the grandparents, because we sometimes we're out speaking and they'll be like, "Well, I'm not a parent anymore. I'm a grandparent." I'm like, "No, but you still are a parent, right?
Yes.
And you are actually one of the most important, because grandparents can do and say, I mean, hopefully we've got good grandparents, but they have
Yeah,
that
godly grandparents.
opportunity. They have an opportunity to say things that maybe mom and dad won't even say, right? Because
Yes,
like,
grandparents are unconditional love.
right.
That's
And
why
they
when we
get a
get come back
pass,
from
they can
them,
say, yeah, they can say whatever
yeah,
they want. And but mom
yes.
and dad are like, you know, I've been wanting to say that to them, but I didn't say it to them like you did. Well,
Right,
I
right.
did.
Yeah, we have to re-educate our kids when we get them back from grandma and granddad, right? But they're just this unconditional love, and our kids need that.
They sure
They
do.
need to experience that unconditional love. It's this beautiful, safe place. And
Yeah.
I see sometimes parents not, value or inconvenience themselves to get their kids around the grandparents. I mean, we get our kids around their grandparents for weeks, because a week doesn't work, because it takes a week to warm up. And so we'll inconvenience our world and shift our whole world around so that they can get close to the unconditional love, especially if you got teenagers,
Yeah.
the unconditional love of a grandparent. I'm telling you, they are divine healing medicine for the heart of your child. Godly
Yeah.
grandparents are treasures.
And right. And if you think about it, according to God's plan, he chose the whole lineage there, right? That was going to be
Yes.
the parents that had these parents
Regeneration.
that, right. And so he has, you always think about that. It's like, you know, when my kids would get in arguments, I'm like, hey, Jesus brought you guys together. This was his plan, you know. So if
Yes.
you know, for good and bad, and for working it out, and he chose us to be your parents, and they chose you to be your children. Like, this is out of all of our control, which is beautiful, because goodness gracious, none of us would want to be in control of deciding anything about who would we would what child we would have and who's perfect for our family. That's all God's plan. So we've got to look at it that way, that this is divine.
Yeah. And can I say one more thing spiritually? Is to teach your kids how to pray, teach them to prophesy over each other. It cuts down on sibling rivalry. And a lot of parents don't know how to pray. Make prayer fun. Go on that 70-inch TV that you bought at Walmart, and go on Google Maps and zoom in on grandma's house and pray for grandma.
Oh,
Zoom
that's
in on your
great.
school and pray for your school and say there's going to be no bullying this year, no violence this year. We do this thing in my family called 60-second preaches, where you have to run around the house, find an object, come back and preach on it for 60 seconds, right? This is how I get all my sermon illustrations as a pastor.
I'm
But
sure you do.
tons of them, right? I'm like,
Yeah.
I need an illustration. Help me here. So, but you've got to find ways to make prayer fun, find ways to make it engaging, and to have them pray over each other, to prophesy over each other, to declare the word of God over each other, and get scripture. I mean, even parents, I mean, how can we be saved 10, 20, 30 years and not know one chapter of the Bible? And we've got to get it in the heart of our kids. Do your children know the sound of a praying father in their home? Do they know the sound of a praying mother in their home? Or do they just know the sound of yelling and arguing and complaining? Because complaining is how we tell God we don't approve of how he's running our life. And so we've got to model this prayer and model it. And your kids can learn it. If your kids can learn the theme song to Paw Patrol, they can learn John 3:16. And it's what we put in front of them. And so I'm telling you, parents, you've got what it takes. You can do it.
Yeah, like our kids learning the Our Father, and you know, it's like you want them to know the Pledge of Allegiance, but then they don't know the Our Father, you know, the only,
Right.
obviously the only prayer that the Lord gave us to do. But, and that's what we said with our kids, you know, repetition and involvement, and doing that over the dinner table, or teaching them to pray at the dinner table, so they're
Yes.
not taken off guard when someone says pray. What are some of the essentials tips that you do give parents that are kind of like foundational? Maintaining the dinner time, attending church. What is there a family Bible time that you do every day? What are some of the,
Sure.
what are some of the, like, these are great to include.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we do our personal time with the Lord in the morning. We do our family God time at night. I actually grew up with a family Bible on a coffee table. And so we brought that back in our home this year. And it dawned on me that all the conversations we had as a family growing up were around the Bible. It taught me as a young boy that the Word of God was center to our family. It was this big, giant Bible right on the coffee table. And I don't even know if people have coffee tables anymore. I don't know, but it taught us that the Word of God is center. And so when you pray with your children, and every Easter, my wife gives all the kids their new devotionals, their new Bibles, all the things for their walk with the Lord, age-appropriate things as they grow. And Easter's kind of that big part, on top of candy and everything else they give them. But we restructure for what they're getting ready to go into that year on Easter. We teach a lot of practical things when it comes to our kids in terms of modeling forgiveness, getting rid of shyness. I know a lot of parents speak that, they're just being shy, but shyness can be a curse that robs our kids of their possibilities and opportunities, because there's not a parent in here that doesn't want their child to be bold and courageous. And so we don't just speak what they're doing, we speak what we want them to be, because life and death is in the power of the tongue. And so we'll model honor in our home, teaching our kids to serve each other. And because if there's anybody in life you don't want to serve, it's a sibling. And so I don't even let my oldest two sons sit down to eat until their sisters have been served. And I'm like, what are you doing at the table? You're 6'3". Get up and get your little sister her food. And they're like, well, I don't want to do it. I know you don't want to do it. But that's worship to the Lord. Worship's not just doing what you want to do. Worship's doing what God wants you to do. Don't want to do it. And that teaches them honor. And you want your daughter so familiar with honor. I say that when they go on their first date at 35, 38 years old. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But the guy doesn't open the door for them or pull the chair out for them. They go, you know what? My own brother shows me more honor than you. And a lot of women end up in relationships with men they should have never gotten into because they were not familiar with honor. And so teaching
So
your kids
true.
to honor each other, to love each other, to serve each other has been some really beautiful practical tips that we've done. And honoring that table. The table is a sanctuary. And ask God, say, Lord, may joy be the meal we eat at our table, and fill our home with laughter, because a laughing child is a magnet for heaven. Laughter is how you tell your children everything's going to be okay.
Oh, wow. It's so true. What about the rough years? You talked a little bit about, well, I don't want to, what, how do
Yes.
we, those are the rough ones. I mean, and some of your kids are harder than others' kids, right? So you've got the kids in the middle that are just the peacemakers and they kind of do what's asked and they don't rock the boat. Then you've got your other kids that are either the first or the last, and they're the ones that are going to challenge or, but yet are in key for greatness as well. But some, what do you do with the situations that are tougher? How do you get through
Sure.
those? 'Cause
They are tough. I'm with you. And when it comes to each one of our children, we've got to go to God and say, God, I need a divine strategy for every single one. You're right. Everyone is so different. They're not these cookie cutter things that each policy works with each child. And so we've had to go to God. And one thing we do is we let every kid know what they bring to our family. My oldest two kids have phones, some 17 and 20. And in my phone, I save them, their name, and I save what they bring to our family. So Nicholas brings laughter, Alexander brings peace. I tell all of our children what they bring to their family, and without you, we're not complete. And there are those moments of discipline. I want to encourage parents to discipline your children. No one can tell you how to discipline your children, because and everyone is so different. Every child is so different. And you've got to go to the Lord and say, Lord, talk to me. I mean, I have some children that if I just look at a little stern, they like fall on the ground and collapse and can't breathe. They're just so upset because dad looked at me stern. And then you've got children that are obviously more stubborn, like their dad. They're not like their mother. Their mother's more like Jesus. But you've got to go to God. But when you discipline, I would say never discipline angry. And how you avoid disciplining angry is you always pray before you discipline. And if you pray before you discipline, you'll never discipline angry. And I would also encourage you, when you discipline your children, don't send them away from you. If you send them away from you, they'll think discipline creates distance. And they won't have a heart to be disciplined, because God doesn't discipline us to send us away from him. He disciplines us to bring us close. And so if we ever had to discipline our children, we kept them next to us the whole day, and I would speak over them what they are. Okay, so you want to speak identity over the child, and you want to discipline the decision. I'm disciplining the decision, but the decision you made is not who you are. You know, I know you to be a loving child, a kind child. I know you to be a generous child. And this decision that you made is not who you are. And so I'm going to speak loudly to their identity, and I'm going to discipline the decision. I'm not going to tie the decision to who they are, because God doesn't do that for us. He separates what we did from who we are. And that's really been a big win in helping us speak identity over our children.
I've got two last questions for you. This one would be when the culture is, and again, you're seeing the difference between your 20-year-old and your 5-year-olds now.
Yes.
The decay, nothing new under the sun, I get it, but phones, AI, social media, the world is a more difficult place, and please God, we're going to have a revival come. But in this world, how do we? I mean, I'm not going to ask you, do you homeschool or public school, or what's your specifics on
Sure.
this? Because it's really depending on each family, right?
Right.
And each child. But how do we combat this world that has no respect in many ways for parents, for the unit of family, for life, for gender, for a kid's sexuality? I mean, as a parent, this is a war zone out there.
It is. It is. And
That's a loaded question for you to comment on, but
We're in it with you, and we're in this with parents. And you sit there and think about it long enough, it starts to create this like fear in your heart. And so, you know, one of the things that we've done as parents is we've just decided we're gonna operate at a pace of healing for our family. You know, when it comes to phones, you know, we have no phones at the table. We have a family password. I was the first one in my family growing up to get a phone, and even in my family to have a phone. And what I modeled was privacy. That's dad's phone. You can't have my password. Don't look at my phone. But what I wanted from my children was transparency. And again, your children will not be what you say, they'll be what they see. So if we want transparency, we have to model transparency. So anybody can use anybody's phone at any time. Anybody can look at anybody's search history. We have a family password, no phones at the table. So many families go out, everybody's on their phone. We're alone together. And so we don't want to be alone together. So we're not going to bring phones into the bedroom. We're not going to FaceTime people in the bedroom. We're going to protect that. We're going to have a cell phone Sabbath. And so these are just some of the things that we've put in place for phones. And also, my wife and I started cell phone permit and cell phone permit. And we did this because there was nothing out there. There were a lot of Big Brother things that are kind of like I caught you, and they're great. But if you've ever caught your kids looking at something inappropriate, at some point you're tired of catching them and you don't want them to want to do it. And so this is like driver's ed for your cell phone. That's why we called it cell phone permit. And it's an 8-hour course that teaches your kids about cyberbullying, selfie dysmorphia, even all the way to texting while driving. It talks about if you're being bullied, you have a friend that's being bullied, if they get inappropriate things, how do you use a cell phone in a safe and secure way, digital tattoos, talks about all those things. And if the kid breaks the covenant with the parent, they don't get their phone taken away for a day. They don't get it back till they re-educate. And so imagine if you got a speeding ticket, you didn't get your license back till you took driver's ed again. And so this is what we developed for our kids. And it has been such a big win to educate them on why not to want to do things. But we have a world that's coming after their identity. And that's why parents, we have to speak over them. We've got to get the word of God down in their heart at a young age. And, you know, we're involved with who our kids' friends are. We don't just let them pick their friends. You know, we live in a world that's like, let them pick their gender. I don't trust them to pick their breakfast. I don't
No.
trust them to pick out their. I'm like,
You're
did you
not
brush
wearing
your.
matching socks. You can't even
Right. I'm
figure that
like,
out.
you're 13. You didn't brush your teeth again. You
Right.
know, like, I'm gonna let you pick your gender. Are you? You got to be kidding
Right.
me.
It's
And so
crazy.
these things are the world. The world is constantly speaking. And
Yeah.
so parents, again, we've got to be present more than ever. We've got to be a voice more than ever. We've got to instill these things in their heart, and we've got to be intentional with who we let speak into their life. And who we let them associate with. You know, we live in a world that says you're a better friend, a better parent, the more friends your kids has. But kids do not get self confidence and identity and love from friends.
Yeah.
They get anxiety from friends. They get a lot
That's
of
true.
they're anxious from friends. They get a comparison from friends. They only get real love from home. That's why they don't care what they look like at home. Their hair's a mess, their socks off, they got a spaghetti stain on their shirt
Right.
because they're loved, they're
Right.
accepted. It's only now that we're going around friends, I got to wear this, dress like this, look like this. And
Right.
I'm not saying not to have friends. I'm just saying parents, don't be quick to give your influence away. We live in
Yeah.
a world that says give your influence away to everybody, and then we wonder why we have none.
Yeah.
Keep the influence in the life of your child.
Oh, that's so true.
And God gave you to them. They don't need a friend, they need a parent.
Yeah.
And be the role that God has called you to be. You have what it takes. You're doing better than you think you are.
Yeah. Oh, so true. And I mean, just in our experiences with our kids, we just always want the extra mile. If they're out of sorts, or if they don't have a friendship this week, or they got left out, or parents rise up, you take them out, you do whatever you need to do to keep entertaining them and speaking to them and helping them feel secure in who they are, because the world will rip them down.
Oh,
And yeah.
it totally will. And the world says, you know, and I'm not against sports. I have kids that play sports, but you know, the average family spends $2,300 to $2,700 a year on extracurricular activities, 400 to 500 hours a year. And the odds of your kid taking it with them into adulthood is 0.005%. And I'm not saying not to do it, but it's not their destiny. And you know, so many families don't have those values. You know, the clothes you're wearing have values, the car you drive has values, your church, but your family doesn't. And so one of ours is I'll do nothing consistently that consistently takes me away from my family or God's house. So you can play football, but we're not gonna forfeit God's house for it. We're not gonna forfeit our family time for it. So if you don't set your values, the coach will set your values. And I'm not attacking coaches, but you've got to set your values
All
as
right.
you
All of a
know,
sudden,
that's
you won't see
fine.
your entire family because everybody's in six different sports and
Right.
you never even have dinner together.
Yes. Yeah, so set your value. If you don't set your values, the world will set them for you.
Yeah.
And so set your family values. And so mom and dad, take that responsibility, take the role God gave you, and you're the pastor of your family. You
Yeah.
know, you're the leader of that home, and your words matter.
Now, that permit that you said about the phone, is that in your book?
That's not in our book. That's an online course that parents can get. It's all digital, and
Okay.
it's shot really beautifully and fun. You know, kids are getting phones now around age 8. They're having their first pornographic experience around age 10 to 11. These are
God,
horrible
please.
things.
I know.
And so
That's why I'm real
this is,
interested in that class.
yes,
How do we know about that?
selfimpermit.com. It's an
Okay.
online course that anybody can go to and get. And so we're trying to get it into schools as a prerequisite to bring your phone on campus, or if kids break the school policy, that they have to go back and take it to re-educate to bring their phone back. We've got some
Okay.
private schools that do it, but it's also just for the home. And we did it for our kids. And so it's selfimpermit.com, and you do it's like a permit. Like when you get your you don't get a driver's license, you get a driver's permit. And you
Yeah.
do it with a parent and guardian. So it's the parents have all the passwords. You're learning how to use a phone with a parent and guardian. And
Right.
so you earn, as you go through it, you earn more responsibility because parents
Got it.
typically just give everything to the kid.
They do. And you know, you can't back up. It's
No,
really
you
tough to
can't back
back up.
up.
You
And
got to start. You got to start.
yes,
Yeah.
it's
So,
36 hours to get a driver's permit in the state of Minnesota. 36 hours. Okay, of behind the wheel and class, kid parents aren't having a 36-minute conversation with their kids before they give them phones. They're
oh,
just
this is
giving it to
great.
them and then say, don't do something silly. They're gonna do something silly. We've got to
Right.
educate our kids. And so this is an 8-hour course, and we just did it to
Okay.
help moms and dads win.
All right, so that's the website. Say the website again for that
Sure,
permit class.
it's cellphonepermit.com.
Okay, and then where do we get your book? Because we've only probably gotten into just the the icing on the cake here. All of
Sure.
those chapters are full of a lot of great information on raising parents. So where do we get your book at, Pastor?
Yeah, we've got Raising Parents, and then we have our new book coming out called The Home Team, Winning Begins at Home. And then
Oh.
we have tons of talking point cards, all our resources, all our kids. We have tons of kids' books. And then my wife's book comes out this fall.
Oh.
I'm really excited about it. And it's called The Desperate Prayer of a Woman, because every woman who prayed a prayer in scripture, God answered. Every woman who prayed a prayer, God answered. And the one thing they all had in common was they were desperate, the desperate prayer of a woman. And so you can get all those resources at jointhehometeam.com. Jointhehometeam.com.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Any closing words of advice to our moms?
Yes, I just want to say, my son, Augustine, one of our 5-year-olds, jumped in front of a lady the other day at a grocery store with a shopping cart. And when he did, she kind of rolled her eyes. And I looked at her and I said, I'm sorry. And then it dawned on me that I didn't say he's sorry. I said, I'm sorry. Because, we own all our kids' mistakes. And as our kids get older, the more mistakes they make sometimes, and it doesn't take very long before you start to feel like you're a bad mom or dad. But if our kids making mistakes means we're a bad parent, that would mean God's a bad parent, because I'm one of his kids. I've made a lot of mistakes. And so I just want to encourage you to let go of the gravity of grace and let grace come up to your own heart. Let grace come up to your own life. I know we're good at letting it go down to our kids, but let it come up to you. And I want to say to you something that you don't probably ever hear. And it's the one thing we want to be more than anything in this world, and no one ever tells us we're good at it. So to all the moms, you're a good mom. And to all the dads, you're a good dad. And you're doing better than you think. And you have the anointing to raise the children that God gave you. Your children are the only thing you can take to heaven with you. They're our greatest treasure.
Great words. You know, when you said that you're doing better than you think, when our son got married, he wrote us a letter that we have hanging on our walls. And my dad always, and my husband always was like, I should, I should, I should, I should. And he wrote on there, says, Dad, you did better than you thought. And I mean,
Oh,
our kids are, and it just, my husband
man.
just wept. I just think about it right now. And it's like, we're doing better than we think.
That's
And
right.
to God's glory, we're going to get him over the, to the other side
Yes.
and be able to just report to Jesus that we did the best we could. So your book's going to be a great resource for our moms. Thank you, Pastor. And thanks to your tribe over there.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having us on, and thank you for the work that you guys do, and caring so much for families, and making families the priority and never an afterthought. You guys are a
That's it.
treasure.
That's it. God bless you guys. Thank you so much, Pastor.
Thank you.
That was a great interview with Pastor Jonathan. Again, please check him out, get his book and his resources. We all need as much help and support as we can in this journey through motherhood. All right, moms, thanks for joining us. And again, please check us out, momsforamerica.us, all of our amazing programs and resources that we have available for you to help you on your journey through motherhood. Again, go to momsforamerica.us and take advantage of all of it. We're here for you. I say this every week, from parental rights to public policy, from the kitchen table straight on up through Congress, Moms for America has it all for you. The ultimate support group. All right, moms, I say this always too. Let's keep changing our country. You got it. One home at a time. That's your home. All right, moms, I will see you next week. Thanks so much and God bless. A special thank you to our sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Herzog Foundation.